Amen tonight. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 9. Sunday's a very special day. Amen. Mother's Day. Isn't that right, Mama? It's Mother's Day. Mother's Day's on Sunday. So you don't want to forget that. Be with your mom. Bring her to church. Amen. If you can, two services, 9 and 11 o'clock, and then there'll be no evening service. We're going to allow you to spend the rest of the day with your family. But 9 and 11, see one, serve one, if you can. We want to participate. We want to fill this place. You can come and serve at the 9 o'clock and, amen, do nursery, work as an usher, and participate in the second one. Maybe that we need ushers in both services. Amen. There are some things that we're going to have to do. It's going to take some work, but it's going to be a fantastic day. So don't forget that Mother's Day on Sunday. Amen. I want to preach for a little bit here, a message that I think that will really help us. We're getting ready to move into these small groups. I'm excited about the small groups. I don't know about you. Some of us are like trying to figure out what is the small groups, what's it going to be like, how's this going to work, you know, and I'm not so sure about it. And I understand that. I get that. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to really bless your life. I encourage you to be a part of one of the small groups. Amen. Sometimes we're not asking you to come to a small group, and we're going to try and pry into your private life. We want you to spill your guts, and you know, we want to know everything that's going on. You know, we do have a private life. Amen. There's some things that we'd rather keep between God and ourselves, and that's okay. But I believe that one of the great things that we're going to experience in the small group is we're going to begin to build relationships. And I think that's so vital and critical to the work of God, to the kingdom of God, that we work alongside each other. We pray for each other. We help each other. We carry each other's burdens. And I think that's really gone lacking in many churches. And I really believe that it'll bless this relationship. Relationships, as we've heard many times, is the glue that holds the church together. God created us to be relational beings, not to be isolated. So I think it's going to really bless you. Amen. I need a few more friends. Amen. Can anybody here need a few more friends? Amen. Besides the ones you have on Facebook, we know how important you are. I don't understand how you have like 1,200 friends. I don't even know that many people. Right? But anyways, long-lasting relationships, deep relationships, I think it's so important. I really believe it's going to bless us. Also, it's going to help us to grow spiritually. Amen? We need to grow spiritually. There's a whole lot more than we can gain just from what we hear on a Sunday morning in the pulpit. There's a lot of things that we can take out of that. We can begin to apply to our life. And then with that, the Holy Spirit begins to add to it. And something happens. It's almost like when you go to the gym more than once a week or more than once a month. Amen. Can I get an amen? I haven't been to Gold's Gym in like, I don't know why I'm even paying a membership there. You want to know why? It's because I got memberships in 3 different places. Yeah, and it's getting kind of expensive. I'm going to have to start doing some different things there. But here's the thing. If you go every day to the gym, let me add one more thing to that. If you go every day to the gym and you watch how you eat, how many know you're going to get results? And I believe that if we apply this and add this small group, that it's really going to help us to grow. And another thing I believe we're going to see out of this is we're going to see lives that are changed and transformed. Amen. We're going to be able to measure progress and see, you know, this brother was here. And when he came in, he had all these things, but all of a sudden he got a victory. Amen. We're going to celebrate those victories with each other. Amen. I smoked my last cigarette. Hallelujah. Not me, but, you know, I'm just as an example. Last week. Amen. You know what? We're going to applaud that. That's a victory. That may not seem like a big thing to you, but to those that are in that group, man, we're excited for you, and we're going to encourage you. You know what? Don't pick up those cancer sticks again. You can make it. If you need accountability, call me. Amen. When you're itching to have that cigarette, call me. Amen. I'm going to talk you out of it. Praise God. So I'm excited about these small groups. But one of the things that I believe that is really important is that through this is not the only avenue of discipleship, but through the small groups, I believe that there will be a discipleship because we've mentioned these several of these things that are included in discipleship, in growing and maturing and being transformed. All these things take place through discipleship. Can you say amen? It's interesting when you consider the mega church mentality, and then you look at Jesus and how Jesus took 12 men, amen, and he invited them down to Starbucks on a Saturday afternoon and said, look, put down your fishing nets, amen. I know I'm a carpenter, you're a fisherman, you're in this and that. You know what? We have different opinions on different things. We come from different backgrounds, but let's come together. And he takes these guys, and rather than correct them or hit them over the head for what they're doing, he begins to build a relationship with them. I think that's very important, because discipleship, we do get that word disciple from the root word for discipleship, and we understand what discipline is, amen, but it's not all about correction, rather than building relationship. And I see this with the relationship that Jesus had with the disciples, and they become friends, amen? I think that's very important. I can correct a friend far better than I can correct just an average person that I don't have a relationship with. And anybody that's friends, you understand that if you got a booger on your nose, most people won't tell you, but a friend will say, hey, mocoso, you know, you look at bro, I don't know how long that's been there, but you mean nobody told me about that? You mean that's been on my lip all day long, and I've been talking to how many people on a Sunday morning? But a friend says, hey, let me tell you, what you're doing, that, bro, I wouldn't do that. You're going down a wrong path. You know what? You're thinking wrong. I don't know what's going on in your head, but you're thinking wrong. That's not, you got to stop. Amen. And that's good. Amen. Because that comes out of relationship. Amen. They became friends. They shared with each other. No doubt they argued with each other. I got a great, people are signing up for these small groups, and I won't tell you who's in my small group, but I got some great guys. I got some great guys, man. And at times, I'm sure it's going to get messy. Amen. Discipleship can be messy sometimes. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to share in each other's victories. But no doubt at times, we're probably going to have some disagreements and some arguments. And I think the disciples had those disagreements at times, but they worked alongside each other in ministry. And through that relationship with Jesus, you know what happened is they stepped into their destiny. As they're in this discipleship process, they stepped into their destiny and what God had for them, and they began to grow. Their lives were transformed. And you know what? These men are written all over the pages of the New Testament, and they did something fantastic and great for God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to just mark time and go from week to week, Sunday to Sunday, but I want my life to be used of God for his purpose. Some way, somehow, with my limited talents that I have, amen, that God would somehow use me and to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these men discovered something concerning discipleship, and it's this tonight, that following Jesus will cost you something. Discipleship will cost you something. I remember years, or I've heard this many times, the water is free, but the pipes cost money. How many's ever heard that? Salvation is free. Thank God for that. Amen. Because none of us could afford it. Amen. There's nothing you can do to merit it. There's no amount of works, but thank God we came to a place and we said, God, here I am. Here's my mess. I give it to you. And God saved us. He reached out. He loved us. Amen. And it didn't cost you a dime, but what will cost you is you surrendering everything to him to enter into that discipleship process. Yeah, it was all good, preacher, up until you got to that part. Amen. Let me tell you something. I believe that it's important to give honor where honor is due. That's what we're going to do on Monday. We're going to be honoring our mothers. Sunday. What did I say? Mother's Day, Monday. I got it mixed up. Amen. But Sunday, y'all know me. Amen. I'm gonna flub something up at some point or another. Sunday is Mother's Day, and we're celebrating. It's not just another holiday. Amen. It's not just another day to take out your mom, but we're going to honor our mothers because of the price that they paid. Amen. Number one, to bring you into the world, and that wasn't easy. Amen. How can something so small birth something so big? Isn't that right, Miss Ruby? Amen. The only reason I can say that is because her son, Jason, who I've had a really good relationship with over the years, is like 6'5", 265 pounds. Yeah, that's a big boy. Amen. How did that little woman bring something so big into this world? Or Shaq. Amen. The price, amen. They had to pay a big price. Can I get an amen from all the moms to raise those kids? Amen. And don't ever, word of advice to anybody that has this tendency to put your foot in your mouth over some things like, hey, are you pregnant? You know what? Don't even go there because they might not be pregnant. Amen. And I don't know how many times somebody has done that one. Amen. But don't ever say, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Oh, so you don't work. Ooh. Man, mama kicked them shoes off real quick. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But when you got even one kid, but some have two and three and four kids, and to say that she doesn't work, I'm telling you something. Thank God for our moms. We have to give honor and we have to give respect and credit where it's due because they gave everything. They didn't give something. They gave everything. Some gave up careers. Others, amen, their body changed because of it. Amen. Can you say amen? Others couldn't even keep their sanity. Amen, because of the kids. You know, you got one kid and three bad ones. Amen. Why? You know, or you get three good ones and one bad one. Amen. Joneses. So we give honor, amen, because there was a price that was paid. We honor our pastor. Thank God for our founding pastor, for Pastor Jones. Can I tell you something? This is an amazing church. It's not a perfect church. I know that. I know we offend people. At different times, you're going to offend people. There's going to be times when they don't disagree with certain things. But can I tell you something? Growing up in this church, amen, over the years, many of you have been in this church for a very long time. And we've seen some powerful moves of God in this church. We've seen some amazing testimonies. I'm talking about impossible situations, people that nobody gave them any hope. And they stepped into this place, and they were saved by the power of God. This is a fantastic church that preaches the gospel, that still goes outside these four walls and evangelizes. You don't find that very much in churches. Amen. I know we're not perfect. We're doing the best that we can. Amen. But let me tell you something. This is an awesome church with awesome people and awesome leaders. But we have to give honor where honor is due. Because everything you see here and everything that we have, when this place is rocking and jumping, and even when it's not, when you get behind the scenes and you see what God is doing, behind stuff you don't even see, let me tell you something. There was a price, and I know because I lived in the house, there was a price that was paid for this work. And Pastor Paul or myself, we are extremely grateful that we can step right into this ministry. Because of the road that was paved for us, amen, paved for you, paved for your children, the work. What an awesome thing. Can you say amen? All I'm trying to say is something so good doesn't come easy or free, but there's a price that has to be paid. Can you say amen? We're going to carry this vision forward. We're not disillusioned about the cost. These disciples understood that there is a cost. Now, I want to look at this in Luke chapter 9. I don't know if I gave you that, but Luke chapter 9 and verse 57 through 62. It says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. I'm all in. I'm with you. I'm with you, Pastor. I'm with you. Amen. Oh, Jesus, help us. How many times have we heard that? I'm with you. I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me, but he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those in my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So as we're reading this passage of Scripture, Jesus begins to lay this out, and he gives these three examples. And the first one he gives is of this guy that no doubt his heart is in the right place. You know, and possibly he's heard the preaching or the teaching of Jesus. Maybe he's seen some miracles. There was something that attracted him to Jesus. For him to say, you know what, I don't know where you're going, but I want to go with you. I'm all in. Amen. I want to go where you're going. I believe that his heart was in the right place. I believe that he also had good intentions like many of us. Amen. We have good intentions. We want to do something. Amen. And in today's world, possibly he would have been faithful, amen, to church on Sunday, or at least most Sundays, amen. He would have considered himself, you know, a pretty decent guy. But then it's interesting what Jesus says. He responds to him in verse 58, and he says, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus is contrasting the desire of this man and the example of himself. Jesus, as we know, he's on his way to Jerusalem here. He's given everything. He's got a mission. God put him on this planet for a purpose. He knew what that purpose was. Amen. Although it hadn't been revealed at this point, he knew the mission. And he knew that he was all in and he was going all the way. But he looks at this man and he realizes this man is just caught up in basically the salvation. Anybody here have a recliner? Anybody here have a Lazy Boy recliner? How many remember Lazy Boy recliner? Amen. For the longest time, I didn't have a recliner. Finally, I got a recliner. This is only, believe it or not, this is only like 2 or 3 years ago. Man, when I got that recliner, when I had the couch, man, it was me, the kids, and the dogs, and anybody else that wanted to sit on the couch. But when I got my recliner, that was my recliner. And if I came downstairs where the recliner was and the TV was and one of the kids was sitting in the, I'd say, get out of my recliner. Man, then once I got in that recliner and I sat down and I couldn't find the remote, I was like, kids, you know, you call your kids, amen, because that's why you had them, right? Come, help me find a remote, because you ain't getting up out of that recliner. How many know what I'm talking about? Once you're in the recliner, you ain't getting out. You holler out, Sarah, Meg, come find the, get the remote. I can't find the remote. The TV's only like, you know, less than 10 feet from you. Amen. Nothing like a Sunday afternoon, the football game is on. Denver Broncos are about to play the Dallas Cowgirls. Hey, man, you got your pizza in one hand. You got your soda in the other. I mean, you know what? You've been waiting all day for this. You get in your recliner. Hey, amen. And now you got the picture of what I'm trying to get at. And Jesus, he says, I don't have a recliner. Amen. And so we have this, and I'll just put it out like this, this lazy boy Christianity. Amen. So it would seem like I'm preaching to the wrong crowd, right? Because you're here, amen, on a Wednesday night. You know, I don't know who he's preaching to. I made it to church. No, this is for you. Look at your neighbor, say, this is for you. Look at your other neighbor, say, this is for me. Amen. The Holy Ghost is trying to talk to somebody and tell somebody something tonight, amen, about this mentality, because no doubt like this man, we're saved, we go to church, we come in, we sing, we worship God, we're willing to give in an offering, amen, we're willing to participate in those kinds of things, but the problem isn't that we go to church or that we don't worship or we don't give. The problem is that we're very comfortable in this lazy boy Christianity and this mentality, amen, where we don't want to, we're good, okay, we're good with going to church. But don't ask me to do anything else beyond that, amen. Hallelujah. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. Amen. Just don't ask me to go to a small group. Amen. Let me just throw that one in. Amen. I'll do anything you want me to do, Pastor. I know there's a sign up out there. I know, you know, it's just, you know what? I need time with my family. Same mentality that Jesus sees in this guy. He knows, amen. He can. You know, how many know he can see right through the facade and this exterior that you put on, amen, that nobody else sometimes can't see? God looks right at the heart. And Jesus says, the Son of Man has nowhere to sit, amen, nowhere to lay his head. And he's not asking for pity, but he's making a statement here that none of us are ready to follow him until we deny ourselves. And we're very selfish people. We get comfortable, amen. That's the selfish part of us, right? So he says to this man, if you want to be my disciple, tell you what, you got to get out of the lazy chair. Secondly, tonight, there's another mentality, and it's this. You know, I want to do something for God, and someday I'm going to do something for God. Look at verse 59, if we can. To another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Let's look at the response in verse 60. Leave the dead to bury the dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now think about this for a minute tonight. Jesus responds in a way that almost seems kind of harsh. I mean, he's talking about burying his father. This is something pretty important. You know, I want to follow you, but you know what? I got to take care of this business. I got to bury my father. But see, what we're failing to understand is his father wasn't dead yet. What he's saying is, you know, at some point, you know, my father, my family, I got to take care of these responsibilities that I have. And when he does die, well, that's going to free me up to come and follow you. And so many times we have this mentality, you know what, someday I'm going to do this. We do this all the time. Someday I'm going to commit to ministry. We ask you, hey, would you mind helping us in Breakaway? You know what, let me pray about it. I mean, no, let me pray about it usually means no. Let me pray, let me think about it. You know what, yes, I'd love to do it. It's just that right now I can't do it. You know what, I've got obligations on Friday, and you know, I got this thing that's going on. You know, we could really use you. We could join a small group. I plan on joining a small group. It's just right now, you know, I'm just so busy. You know, I've got the kids, and I've got this, and I've got that. And all this, he makes all these statements, and basically Jesus responds, and he says, you know what? Here's the problem is time is of the essence, and we're burning daylight here. Let the dead bury the dead. We got to do something now. Now is a now moment. And he says, go and preach the gospel. Man, I ain't ready to preach. How can I preach? You got a story. You have a testimony. Testify what God has done in your life. I'm going to tell you what, you can share that. And the Holy Spirit begins to work through that. And you would be surprised at how many hearts you would touch. Don't just talk about it. Let's do something about it. Amen. Can I get a good amen tonight? On this Wednesday night, amen. All you happy people, praise God. Give me another good amen tonight. Wake up. Amen. You're going to like this third one. Amen. I'm going to finish with this third one. Verse 61 to 62. Again, we have this third guy. He says, yet another, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Here's a very similar situation with the second guy, except the response of Jesus indicates that this man couldn't let go of something. Now, let me just say, when we look at this and he's talking about He's talking about his family. Let me say farewell to my home. It's not like that. Like I said before, Jesus is directing this towards his heart. How many remember the story of the rich young ruler? And he comes to Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Here's another example of somebody that wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus says, yeah, you can follow me. All you got to do, man, is follow the commandments, do these things, go to church. You know, I'll look for you on Sunday, and you know, this and that, and don't lie. And the guy's like, man, I don't lie. And Jesus thinks in his head, you never lie except on days that end in Y. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. And so that was a lie right there. I don't lie. I don't do this. I don't commit adultery. I'm a good guy. And then Jesus begins to hone in and read this guy's mail and says, oh, but there's just one more thing. Go and take everything that you own and sell it and give it to the poor. Now, how many know Jesus is not after your money? Come on. Jesus wants to get you money. I believe that. I mean, God wants your heart. He knew this heart. He looked right past this guy's intentions of wanting to follow him, and he got down right to where the matter was. He said, sell everything you have. I don't know what this guy had. Think of that dream car that you want. Please don't say Volkswagen. And what, you know, just think of it. Is it a Mercedes? Is it a Camaro? Is it a truck with a lift kit? Come on, is anybody thinking? You never really thought about it? How many would like a better car than the one you're driving right now? Amen, me too. Think of the nicest car that you could drive off the lot with. You can pick the color, 0 miles. That's your baby. And the next day, Jesus says, now go sell it and give it to the poor. Or you just bought your first house, and it's a nice house. Amen, 4-bedroom, 3-bath with a jacuzzi. Come on. Man, get you a bath bomb, some bubbly. You just got the keys. You're ready to get in there, move, start moving stuff in. And Jesus says, okay, now go sell it. I know you've worked for the last 10 years just to make this possible. Now go sell. I'm just trying to make this real to us today. His heart was tied up in his possessions. That's where his heart was. And so here Jesus is talking to this man. It's not a matter of family, but it's rather a matter of these affections that he has that he cannot let go. Come on, sell it all. Amen. What's that affection that you're holding on to tonight? Now listen, the devil, I know you've been saved so long. Amen. Some of y'all, you think the devil's going to leave you alone? He can't get you one way, he'll try and get you another way. There will always be some type of affection that the devil will put, and many times, and most times, it's an affection from the past. Amen? Because some of y'all dope smokers, when they pass that law, amen, that 420 law, amen, the medical marijuana, ooh, that devil said you could get your have a doctor sign a paper, and you could get you some medical marijuana. I mean, it's not that much different than prescribed medicine for your body. And the devil, I know, you guys are just saints. Nobody thinks like that. Not here. Whatever affection it was in the past, it'll hold and it'll pull on you and keep you from moving forward. And this is what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, you just can't let go. Oh, let me go say farewell to my family. You know what I got? He's saying, you know what? Forget your family. I know that sounds hard, and it's not exactly what it means. Amen. Although sometimes we do have to make a stand. I know you love your family, but the direction that your family is going, for some it was a party lifestyle. For others, it's a religion. I mean, it could be so many different things. At some point, I'm not saying you have to disown your family, stop loving your family. That's not what we're saying at all. All we're saying is you got to make a stand. You have to make a stand, and you have to say, you know what? I'm sorry, but I don't believe like that, and I believe that you still love me, and I love you, but we're going to have to agree to disagree on these things. And the moment you do that, here's the way the devil works and the world works. They'll begin to disown you before you disown them. 9 times out of 10. But you need to chart your course and line it up with the Bible, and God will take care of you. But the problem is a lot of you don't want to let go of your family. You don't want to let go of your friends. You don't even want to let go of friends, amen, that have aligned themselves against the church. You can't let go of the past. And he says, until you let go of the past, you'll never go forward and do and step into my destiny for your life. Amen. Maybe your affections are set on the desires and the pull of the old life, whatever that is. Amen. You know what it is. You want to serve God. You want to follow Jesus, but you just haven't let go of things. I know we're all a work in process. I know we're working through things. The grace of God is working in us. Amen. But Jesus is asking us to let go of some things. It's time to get serious. Quit condoning. Quit justifying. Let's call sin for what it is. Let's call sin, sin. And let's deal with it at the altar. And let's let go and let God. When you let it go, that's when God begins to move and release that power in you to have victory over it. But until you surrender it, it's always going to be a struggle. Always going to be a struggle. All he wants is everything. He wants everything. Amen. That don't sound like a very good deal sometimes, but that's the only way it works. Amen. And God will help you. Amen. When we surrender, we give it to God. God does miracles. I just don't know how to form it and put it into words tonight. You have to let it go. Can you say amen? The cost of discipleship almost sounds kind of hard, amen, because I wanted this easy street gospel, amen, this gospel that's being preached, you know, it's just happy all the time, you know, and you know, praise God, you know, friends and this and that and love and, you know, Jesus could have never been a mega church pastor. He had 12 disciples, and when he hung on the cross, they were all gone. His mother was there. Amen. That's why we're celebrating Mother's Day. Amen. Because mama will be there. Amen. You be in prison. Everybody else has disowned you, but mama's there. Praise God. But Jesus, amen, we love these celebrity preachers. We want to look like them. Amen. We want to dress like them. We want to talk like them. We want to relate like them. We want to listen to their podcast all day long. But let me tell you something. Jesus was not popular. He was not popular. Matter of fact, he made the religious mad at him. Thank God he was a friend of sinners. But he could not have been a mega church pastor. Amen. I don't know how I got off on that, but I think that was the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed in this place tonight. Amen. God's good. God's going to help us. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus didn't do anything halfway? You know, when he went to that cross, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Of course, he died for the world. But you can put your name right there, for God so loved. Put your name right there. He did. If you were the only person on earth, he would have died for you because he loves you so much. He knows all about the sin, the mistakes, the failures. That heaviness on your heart. And he says, I love you. He looks out across time to this day, 2018. He knows all about it, friend. That shadow that's over you, that guilt and condemnation that you carry and you feel. And it's amazing that he can look at that and rather than look with disgust and shake his head in shame and say, how could you do that? He looks at you with empathy and compassion and love. And he says, I died for you. For God so loved you that he gave his only son. And he loves you tonight. You'll never, ever be able to comprehend it. But I'm going to tell you, just to know that he loves you is amazing. Can you say amen? He didn't do anything halfway. He paid everything for you. He gave his life. He gave his blood. He paid the price. And my friend, tonight, he loves you. Don't walk out of this place. Please don't walk out without making a decision to surrender your heart to him. Open yourself up. Say, here I am, God. I'm not perfect. And I'll probably walk out of this place and I still won't be perfect. But God, I surrender to you and I ask you to help me. I'm going to tell you, God can do it. God can do a miracle in your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place tonight, you'd say, you know what, preacher, I hear you. I feel that. I feel something tugging on my heart. And I want to know Jesus. I don't want to just know about him. I want to know him. I want him to know me. I want this relationship that I've heard. I want Jesus in my life. If that's you, all over this place, quickly put your hand up. Put it right back down. I want to pray for you tonight. You say, you know what, remember me in prayer. How many would say, that's me? I'm not saved. God bless you. I'm not saved. I'm lost. Maybe tonight you've slipped up. You've made some mistakes. You've thought things. You've acted on those impulses and those thoughts. And you're not proud. You're ashamed of it, really. But you say, you know what? I want to make things right with God tonight. If that's you, quickly put your hand up and put it right back down. How many honest hearts, how many real people would say, you know what? That's me. I need to be saved. God bless you. God bless you. How many more? Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart tonight. You just be real with God. Amen. That's all we're asking. Just be real with God. Let God help you. How many more honest hearts? And then I think that all of us really, in some way, when God has asked us to follow him, maybe we do understand the cost to some degree, but maybe we've made excuses or we've been negligent in certain things in certain areas of our life. I think all of us can find a place, whether it's in our seat or at the altar, and we can say, God, fix my attitude. Help me to have a right heart. These affections that I've had that have pulled on me, the music and the world and the things of the world, help me to recognize that they're a hindrance. I want to go forward. I don't want this weight of the world on me to keep me from stepping into my destiny with God. Whatever that is, that affection is tonight, you can give that to God. You can get your heart right with God, and we can step into discipleship. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet in this place tonight as we sing this song. We're going to make time in these altars. I want you to step out of your seat tonight. Whether you raised your hand or you didn't, let's find a place at these altars. Let's do business with